Anyway, so here's what happens. These delicate membranes surrounding that sperm head basically become damaged. And when you've got damaged sperm head, the membrane around the sperm, there's an acrosome, which is a membrane around the sperm head. You can see right here that little thick cap. And it's got enzymes in it. And once those enzymes are released, it helps soften the eggshell so the tail can drive the head and fertilize the egg, go through the eggshell, fertilize the egg. So when you get damaged acrosomes, you get enzyme leakage and then failure of fertilization. Okay, so we did some recording here. 10 seconds in the neck of a half-filled doer, it takes for the internal temperature of a straw semen to get to minus 100. Remember, minus 130 is the transition temperature of water. So if we're at minus 100 here, we're doing damage. Okay, and again, the duration and the degree of exposure above minus 130 is the key. Okay, so we've already answered number one here. How long does it take a half cc straw? I didn't measure a quarter cc, but it wouldn't have taken nearly as long as a half cc to thaw completely. So here's a kind of a question that we'll play with. So if you take a half cc straw of frozen semen and expose it to room temperature just out in the air like that, then you drop it back into liquid nitrogen, how long does that ambient exposure need to be before we see zero motility? Okay, in other words, we've got a straw semen and liquid nitrogen. We take the straw out, and how long does it need to be exposed before we drop it back in, then re-thaw it, and we've got zero motility? Anybody take a guess? It surprised me. It took about 50 to 55 seconds to have the total for the straw to turn. It took 50 to 55 seconds exposure, then thaw it out and evaluate it to have zero motility. At 40 seconds, we've still got motility. At 30 seconds exposure, we've still got motility. But motility isn't the only story. Okay, so we had 3.5 minutes for the straw to completely turn to liquid. 50 to 55 seconds. Remember, at this 50 to 55, it's still solid. You know, we're all thinking, I'm that cowboy in that picture, I'm thinking everything's okay. But it's not. Okay, most straws require a blank second ambient exposure and re-entry before motility is visibly decreased or noticeably depressed. Okay, now this is motility. This is not just simply the fertilizing capacity of the sperm. This is just the motility. 30 seconds. So if we take that straw out and hold it 25 seconds, put it back in the liquid, thaw it out, we're not going to see any visible damage. We're not going to see a depression in motility. Okay, but we know from Merriman's slides what happens at the microscopic level. We know that there's damage being done. So the fertilizing potential of sperm is likely depressed even after an 8 to 10 second exposure. Likely there's going to be some fertilizing incapacity after a short exposure like that. Okay, so here's a little cartoon. Here's the half cc straw cut into section with sperm. And here's a quarter cc with sperm in it. So if we both give those the same exposure, we've got some loss of sperm certainly on the periphery of this half cc straw, but there's at least some sperm remaining intact in the central core of that straw. And on a quarter mil, a quarter mil straw is wonderful because it saves storage space. It even gives a little bit higher conception rate than a half, supposedly. I think there's work been done to prove that. But they are susceptible to these thermal exposures more so than a half cc straw. So I think we're going to have to concern ourselves with that business. Here's an embryo resting up against the side of that straw, and certainly you can imagine that if an embryo is exposed, it's going to undergo the same deterioration that a sperm does. Okay, so let's look at some common exposures here. And before we get into that, I want to show you some facts about dewars. I think this is good for you to see this. What we did is we took this thermometer, and it's got a thermocouple here. If you follow my, and it goes right down into the neck of this dewar liquid nitrogen vessel. And right now we're at 1 inch below the top of that vessel, and you can see it's 21.9 degrees C, and I think room temperature was probably 23 degrees that day, Celsius. If we drop it to 2 inches below the top, we go to 11.9. If we drop it to 3 inches, we go to minus 23. And I want you to think about back home, how are you handling your semen? How are you, when you handle it, when you reach down to grab a cane, how far is that cane from the top of that straw, from the top of that tank? And I'm telling you, when you get to 3 inches, it gets hard to work 3 inches deep. And even 4 inches, which is typically where you see the frost line of a tank, we're at minus 47. So think about minus 130. We're way warmer than minus 130, 4 inches below the neck of this dewar. And then if you go 5 inches, it goes to minus 73. We're still in a bad spot there relative to the transition temperature of water. So then we go to 6 inches below the top, and I can tell you, you can't work 6 inches in the neck of a dewar. You can't get to the semen to do that unless you've got really long tools to do so. Okay, so minus 110 at 6, and I think we stopped at that point. And obviously, when you get on down below the neck of the tank and into the dewar, you're going to see in the minus 180 to 196 range right at the, and of course, liquid is minus 196. Okay, so from the time semen's collected, processed, frozen, and then stored, and ultimately shipped, and finally thawed for insemination, think of the opportunities that sperm has had to become thermally exposed and the fertilizing potential decreased. So think about all those different events that happen. And then I'm going to list the personnel on a farm, ranch, or breeding facility that typically could have and usually does have access to the liquid nitrogen tanks. Ranch managers, cattle handlers, and I won't spell these out, but there's a lot of different people here that have the potential to destroy your product. Let's not forget veterinarians ourselves. Okay, so when you receive a shipment, and we'll go into these a little bit one at a time, are searching for samples to thaw, you're thawing samples, you're preparing a dry shipper, you're preparing a wet shipper, you're taking inventory, you're breaking a cane, and what breaking a cane is, hey, my neighbor wants to buy 3 straws of this bull, I've got 10 straws of semen on, so we got to break a cane, we got to get some 3 straws out of that and give it to him, and man, that's bad. I don't like to see that. Okay, so dewar to dewar transfer, if you're going to take some semen from one tank to the other, how do you do that? And then cattle sales, there's often one of the hands at a cow sale, if there's semen and embryos being sold, they're the ones that are, okay, he bought 5 straws of this and he's back at the back with the 2 nitrogen tanks and he's doing all that most of the time not under optimal conditions. He's making mistakes. Okay, so a lot of different people involved, and chances are pretty good for, so what happens when you receive a shipment? Okay, what this guy's doing, he's counting the number of straws that the invoice said there was. Okay, so he's counting those. But remember, this thing's solid, so no problem. Straw is not a problem since it's frozen in a solid state. Not a problem in his eyes. Now, what's he doing here? What scares me here is not what he's got in his hand, but look at the cane, the canister that's holding all those canes that he's exposing. And how long has he done that? What are the long-term ramifications of that in your ET program or your AI program? That it leaves you scratching your head some days and you're saying, man, we did everything right. The semen, you know, should have been good. We just bought it. Everything's, and you get low preg rates. You get less than expected results. And it just doesn't add up. Nothing adds up. Okay, searching for samples to thaw. Now remember, these canes are down in these canisters, and a lot of times they'll have kind of frost over them. There'll be a frosty layer, and you can't hardly read them. So you've got to move, get your thumb or finger and wipe the frost off of them. And then it's usually a cane code, not a bull name. The owner says, breed to Ferdinand. And the AI tech goes, well, where's Ferdinand? So he might spend 5 minutes in a canister looking for Ferdinand when it's, you know, 54 AN 582 or whatever the number might be. That's the code. He doesn't know that. So here he goes, wiping the frost off. And look at all of those straws that are being exposed. And if that's more than 8 to 10 seconds, there you can bet that there's been at least some damage occur. Okay? Thawing salmon. And I'm going to go through this because there's just all kinds of ways and opportunities to set this situation up. Okay, and there he's taking inventory here. We ask him to do that, so that's the way he was doing inventory. So, okay, breaking a cane, making sure he's got the right bull, wipe the frost off of it. Now, here's another common problem. If you look at that cane, there's no, and that yellow goblet that he's putting that straw in, it's room temperature. He hasn't pre-cool that in liquid nitrogen or liquid nitrogen vapor. So he's sticking that straw into a warm goblet, and he's going to put three straws in that. How long is that going to take, and how much damage is being done? And then we've already talked about the cattle sales. Now, we prefer to keep in our clinic, we prefer to keep the top goblet full of liquid nitrogen. So if the tank stays at about 3/4 full, we'll achieve that goal. 3/4 full, and we'll have nitrogen in our top goblet. Then when we pull that up into the neck of a tank and there's liquid in that goblet, hey, you can go for a minute or two with that before it all vaporizes out, and you need to drop it back down, refresh it, and pull it back up again. So there are some ways that you can handle this, and it's not that difficult. Okay, so again, the major objective is we want to keep the content of that straw colder than minus 130 degrees Celsius at all times. Okay, so here's something that we do when we receive dry shippers. We run a thermocouple down in that thing, and if it's not below minus 130, we make some phone calls and we try to determine what happened. And we prefer not to use that semen. We'd prefer not to accept it. Okay, we should have at least, a fully charged dry shipper should have at least an internal temperature of minus 180, 6 inches below the top of the neck. That's pretty much of a common deal. And then we prefer not to accept it. And then here's the frost line. It's about 4 inches deep. And if you've got the top goblet full of liquid nitrogen, you're going to be in good shape here. It's not going to be that 8 to 10 second rule. If it's a vapor-filled goblet, use your 8 to 10 second rule. Okay, here's the good part about all this. To do it right is terribly inexpensive. It doesn't cost anything. This styrofoam... What that is, I bought that styrofoam ice chest at a local hardware store about 27, 28 years ago for $4. And I can't imagine how many embryos that I've saved and sperm that I've saved by using a liquid nitrogen bath. We pour them sometimes 15 or 20 a day. We pour nitrogen out of vessels into this styrofoam ice chest. We'll put about an inch deep of liquid nitrogen in there so it's clear like water, so you can do all your reading. Everything is under liquid nitrogen. So you've got eyewear, you've got the, you know, which is what, maybe 10 or 15 bucks. You've got some hemostats here, some forceps, towel clamps. You've probably got certainly less than $50 worth of material here. So it should be used routinely. Like if we're going, if semen comes, if we get a shipment of semen in, we've got a lady that does this. She pours a nitrogen bath in the styrofoam, fills it an inch, takes the shipment, the canes out of the shipper, and counts them. She takes the sire name, register. Everything on that straw is recorded. Everything, including the batch code. Everything's on that straw. Then under liquid, she puts the straws back in the goblet, and then they go into our larger storage vats. And you know, we started doing that years ago when I started becoming familiar with the science of this. But I had never in my practice career, I had never seen one of my clients have one of these. They didn't know to have one. But there it is. There's an example of that thing sitting there. And he's putting samples back into the nitrogen tank there. Always use the liquid nitrogen bath when you're breaking a cane, taking inventory. All of these different scenarios, use a liquid nitrogen bath. It'll save heartache, headache, and lost dollars. Okay, so again, we keep them 3/4 full. And I don't sell liquid nitrogen tanks. I never have and won't. I'm not trying to promote this, but when we buy a tank, I like to recommend to my client to buy another one exactly like it, without the canisters. Just the tank. You don't need the canisters. Why? If you walk by, and we keep our nitrogen tanks in a room where we commonly walk through, we're always looking for vapor. If a tank begins to lose vapor into the air, it's kind of smoking, if you will, and it's sweating, you're in an emergency. Go into an emergency mode immediately because you've lost the vacuum between your inner and outer tanks. And when you lose that vacuum, you've lost everything, and your samples start warming up rapidly. So if you've got two identical tanks with the same neck size diameter, you can take the canisters out of one just as quick as you can drop them over there, take them out of the sweating and smoking tank into one that's healthy. And you don't need the canisters in the one you're going to come into. They'll be in the way. So that's a recommendation, and we've had that happen at least half a dozen times over the years at our clinic. I barely mentioned biosecurity issues. There are viruses and bacteria that do survive liquid nitrogen, so it doesn't sterilize anything. Okay, so debate here. So here's the question out here that I would ask everyone. How many farms or ranches have an organized curriculum to take care of this problem? And I would dare say very few would be my guess, based on my experience with them. How many human labs have something like that in place? I was invited to give this presentation at the, what was the name of that? The American Society for, what was the name of that? I can't remember. Anyway, it had to do with storage of frozen samples and freezing samples and all that. American Association of Tissue Banks, that was the name of it. And I gave that presentation at that, and that was probably the funnest one I've ever done because they were certainly appreciative of the information. And, okay, so here's again part of the problem. If you don't know something and you don't know you know it, then you're not really interested in listening to a problem that you don't know exists. But none of us were taught all the principles that we're talking about here. I wasn't, and I don't think very many people have been taught that. But most people don't realize that they don't know this information or they don't need to know it. Again, it gets back to cowboy logic, and that's me all over when I was a young ET practitioner. I didn't understand recrystallization. I saw a frozen straw, and I didn't know if it was exposed to ambient temperature. I didn't know the result. What went on? What's happening there? Now I have a better idea of what's going on. So measuring the losses is what's difficult. You've got, you know, species like that. I could tell you story after story after having done this. I've had people from zoos and different things call me about this problem, and even certainly human life. The bottom line is this: the fate of reproductive and medical patients is in the hands of numerous potential handlers of cryopreserved cells and tissues. Many, if not most, have never been formally trained and don't understand these principles. Education is the key to solving the problem, and I think more work needs to be done at an electron microscopy level to determine exactly what's going on when we're doing this damage. And with that, I'll take any questions. And by the way, I spent about 3 years making a DVD that I think there's 17 chapters in this thing that I wanted all of my clients to have. And it is offered. It's got everything that we've talked about today and more. It goes into a lot of detail of how to handle it. When we hire a new employee, day one, they watch that video. They watch the DVD. It's a DVD, not a video. Day one, they watch that. We will not let them handle our... I don't care if he's been AI in cows for 30 years. They are not allowed to go into the semen or embryo storage facility without having seen this. So with that, I'll take any questions.